This message wasn't what I was planning on speaking on today, but there is no way I could avoid it. It was all over my face in the middle of the night. So I had to. Fully present. Hopefully, what you and I will hear this morning, we have a long and positive impact on our lives. And no matter what we've encountered in our life, we are not worthless. The Augustus sees us as that crystal diamond. We should see ourselves the way Spirit sees us, and the way the great ones also sees us. So good morning to you all. Today I want to talk about broken places. The truth is, we all have them. Places in our lives where something happened that we didn't expect. Places where someone hurt us. Places where we made a mistake. Places where we lost someone we loved. Places where trust was broken. Places where life simply did not turn out the way we thought it would. Sometimes we all can relate to that. But I want you to hear this clearly this morning. Even in our broken places, we are still beautiful. Because we are not disposable. There are places in every human life that became broken, that become broken. Sometimes the breaking comes through trauma. And we may have met one or two people who went through traumatic experiences that will not even wish it on the one we so-called our enemies. Sometimes it's through loss. We don't know how blessed we are until you're on the verge of losing something. I mean, we easily get up when we say we want to get up. We easily talk when we open our mouth. And all the things that makes life continue to flow. Some people, they want to get up, they can't. They want to talk, they've lost the voice. And all kinds of things has happened. Sometimes through betrayal. Sometimes through our own mistakes. And sometimes the breaking comes through circumstances completely beyond our control. That's the one that really freaks us out, isn't it? We want to control everything in our life. And then we're forced to submit to it. But brokenness does not mean worthlessness. This is one of the most important truths we can learn. Even in our broken places, we are still beautiful. And I will complete that sentence down the line. This just stop with that. In fact, sometimes we discover that we are strongest at the very places where we have been broken. I'm sure some of us have gone through like, oh, if I knew this was going to bring me there, I wouldn't have complained. And I want you to remember something else. And I will keep emphasizing that you are not disposable. You are not like Gillette disposable razor, you know? Whatever trauma you have experienced, whatever mistakes you have made, whatever someone has said about you, or they didn't say about you, because sometimes we want them to say good things that they won't. Whatever someone has done to you, you are still a child of God. That is guaranteed, whether you like it or not. Because I'm sure all of us, we have, for us to be in this world, we have parents, don't we? A mother who gave birth to us, a father, whether they are in our lives or not. But, you know. And the ultimate parent is God. You and I are not forgotten. Even when kids and their parents fight, when they don't talk to each other, or siblings, you still know you have a sibling, even if you haven't spoken to them for 500 years. We are never forgotten by that divine spirit. And we are not beyond redemption. So whatever you think, you know, if the guy on the cross with Jesus could be redeemed, right? Remember the, yeah, bad to the bone, armed robber, that at that moment, yeah, we're not beyond redemption. We are not beyond healing. Because sometimes we say, well, no one can heal me. This is just, you know, ask people who have given bad diagnosis to about health. And because it has been programmed into our society, oh, when people hear cancer, people just like, okay, it's death sentence. And there are people we know that God has healed them, and it's permanent. Even though they might still have, like, maybe not. But we know, because God knows, because God said, yes, it's permanent. Today, I want to share a story that brings this message to focus. It's a very heavy story. But I try to take out this thing so that some of you won't start crying when I start telling the stories. But there's always, like we said, sometimes the brokenness we suffer is the one that gives us the most strength. It's the one that opens the door. It is a story about wrongful convictions, about victims, about innocent people who lost years of their lives in prison, and about the terrible damage that happens when justice fails. But more than that, it is a story about healing. It is a story about forgiveness. It is a story about learning to put down the burdens we have carried for far too long. Before we hear the story, let us ask, what do our spiritual traditions teach us about justice? In what they call the Abrahamic religion, which is Judaism, Christian, and Islam, because they all come, they're all sons of Abraham. Well, if they are sons and daughters of Abraham, and the daughters and sons of Sarah too, but we don't say that. Those three religions teach that justice belongs to God, and that human beings have a responsibility to seek truth, defend the vulnerable, and protect the innocent. The scripture tells us to seek justice, correct oppression, and defend those who are vulnerable. If that's the voice of God telling us to do that, don't you think that voice is also telling you, no harm can come to you because I'm protecting you? No harm will come to you because you don't deserve that. It's not fair. Because we know when things happen, we say, Lord, this is not fair. How can you do this to me? scriptures tells us to seek justice, correct oppression, to stop oppressing yourself without really putting that is telling you are not good. And defend those who have wronged you. But God will defend you. God said you have wronged you. But you must be willing to receive that. And Jesus himself spoke of the weightier matters of life. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Justice matters. Truth matters. How we treat people matters. You hear that? How we treat people. Apparently, you are not a person. Because if you are treating yourself shitty, then you are not a person. People, animals treat themselves better than somebody treat themselves. But if it says how you treat people matters, then how you treat yourself really matters. And the Bible also makes an important distinction between justice and revenge. The book of Romans tells us, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. That does not mean we ignore injustice. I remember in my earlier years before this story, hey, you break my head, I'm going to take all your dinner, I'm going to take it all. I'm not going to stop by that. I will eat your meat, your goat, your meat. But I found that that's not the way of Jesus. That's what Jesus said. Ooh, he slapped you on one side. What did he say? Turn the other side. Don't turn into a bruiser. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. It means we do not allow injustice to turn us into people consumed by hatred. We may not know it, but politics turns us into that. You may not like a particular politician. Yeah, you should do the best you can. But don't go into where the hatred seems into it. It poisons you. Not the person who's perpetrating that. No one can poison you unless you open the door to poison yourself. Then everything else comes in. We will not allow injustice to turn us into people consumed by hatred. There's a difference between seeking justice and seeking revenge. Justice says this wrong must be made right. That's why God might put you in a position to make the wrong right. But you are thinking somebody else has to do it. Go ask Gideon about that. Revenge says, you hurt me, so I want to hurt you. You know the thing I cannot find, and I've seen it in this world. Somebody says, I don't want to be your friend anymore, I don't want to date you anymore. And then you turn yourself into a stalk. The same person you say, I love, I care about. Isn't that same like revenge? You don't want me, nobody can have you. I'm going to make life miserable for you. Everywhere you go, I'm going to show my face. Well, we have to call them. Between justice and revenge, one seeks restoration, right? Justice. The other perpetuates the cycle. Beat me, I beat you. Then how are we going to get out of it? And the spiritual traditions of Buddhism and Hinduism teach something similar. Revenge creates more suffering. Hatred answered with hatred does not end hatred. That's why we have to be careful in our politics. You see what's going on with Ukraine and Russia? I'm sure the hatred now that is going on. Hatred answered with hatred does not end hatred. It all creates another wound. So the spiritual challenge is this. How do we seek justice without losing our souls? Now let me come to my story of today. Like I said, like they say on TV, this might be, you know, what do they say? Keep the children away because it's heavy. There may be, you know, so. This is the story of Jennifer Thompson. In 1984, she was a college student. She was raped at knife point in her apartment. She was living outside the town. If you are a human being, remember we talked, you should never wish that on anyone. And no human being with their courage should ever try to do that to anyone. So she worked with the police. She tried to help them find the person who attacked her. She identified a man named Ronald. Not Donald, Ronald, my Ronald. Cotton, like the cotton place you were. She testified against him. And Ronald Cotton went to prison. Jennifer, God bless her soul, she's still alive. Believed she had identified the man who had raped her. For 11 years later, DNA evidence proved that Ronald Cotton was innocent. And there are more stories other than Ronald. There are some who spent 29 years. The actual perpetrator was identified. And Jennifer was devastated. She was filled with shame. She said, it was terrible shame, suffocating shame, debilitating shame. Imagine that. She's a victim now, she has to carry that on again. And because the time they focused on the wrong person, the person who did that to Jennifer was still around committing more before they finally grabbed her. Imagine, she was a victim, she had been attacked. And yet, when the truth was revealed, she felt responsible for destroying an innocent man's life. Talk about wearing the Pope's hat. That's it. But here's where the story becomes funny. Jennifer had a choice. She could live in shame for the rest of her life. Or she could transform her shame into something meaningful. And she chose me. Never broken places. She apologized to Ronald Cotton. She began working with him. And together they started educating others about wrongful convictions and the problems that are caused with eyewitnesses identification. I'm sure some police officers didn't want to hear that. They have to talk to people who are in the justice system. And they can see it with their peripheral. This is. But Jennifer discovered something else. When an innocent person is released from prison, everybody celebrates, right? Let's call them the exonerated. The exonerated is free, they've been exonerated. The family rejoices. People are standing on the court outside celebrating. We see them in our news. The exonerated is free. The family rejoices. Well, what about the victim? What about the family of the person who was actually murdered? You hear a story about a girl who was just 3 when her mother was raped, which was killed. And only a person was walking their dog found her. And then this man was accused of killing her. Was in prison. So what about the family of the person who was actually murdered? What about the person who was actually raped? What happens when you discover that the person you thought was guilty was innocent? You know how the programmers, society does, grown-ups do that? Now they say, oh, this is the one who killed their father. So you see that face, and every time you see that, you want to do something to them. And imagine carrying that for 20-something years, then to find that, no. How do you get that out of your mind? Because it's already settled in your subconscious. It's already collecting rent, paying mortgages too. So we'll find out, how do you help yourself? Because that's what happens to all of us. You don't have to go through trauma. There are things in our life that we believe is true about ourselves, and it's not. And because of what we've read, what we've seen, we knew what they told us. And then Christ and all the holy ones are saying, no, you are still a child of God. You need to put that there. So imagine that now they have another life. Now it's in there. Because the real perpetrator may still be free doing what he's doing. Jennifer realized something profound. A wrongful conviction does not hurt just one person. It is like a bomb. The damage spreads. The innocent person is hurt. Their family is hurt. The victim is hurt. If the victim's family is hurt, the community is hurt. And so when you are casting the blame on yourself and you are really beating yourself down instead of moving on, remember it's not only you that is hurting. Because whatever poison you're putting in there, it will affect your husband, your children, your grandma, your mama, even your cat and your dogs and the community. And that's why Jesus said, bring it to me. Dispose all these nastiness you. Let it go. So the community is hurt. And sometimes while the wrong person is sitting in prison, the re-perpetrator begins to hurt someone else. So while you are stuck in thinking my broken places and you don't want to move on, what do they say? Life goes on, doesn't it? And in that moment, you actually even miss the next lesson that God has been preparing for you because you couldn't see yourself beyond where you are. Think about that for a minute. That's why some people say, there is water under the bridge, right? What has happened? I said, move on. Don't carry like a suitcase, like you're going on vacation, and then you have to clear it to yourself. Don't let your system fail you, because the system failed those people. And it's not only the victim, it's not only the failed everyone, community, the people who, maybe even generations. Victims are also wounded. There are women who have survived terrible assaults. One was only 12 years old. Another was running. You know, now we go for a walk and run along the shores of Lake Michigan. The way that he went to investigate.
before the man, you know, the person you have. Say you are there. Another was 15 years old. She had moved to school, but so she's walking to school. Somebody grabbed. Each of these people had identified a suspect. And years later, DNA proved that the men they had identified were innocent. Imagine the guilt. One woman said, I felt so bad for him because I felt I sent the man, this innocent man, to prison. Another was told, I can't believe you are showing your face. A friend telling me a friend like, you can even come out after what you did to that person. Some people said the victim, they should send them to prison. They deserve it. They are victims. It's not like they say, come and rape me. But we need to understand something. There's a difference between a false identification and a deliberate false accusation. These people deliberately accuse these people. They are going through a traumatic experience. Our science has proven it over and over again that when they go through that and the person who did it is not there, they will always in their mind. We have the story of all black people look the same. All white people look the same. Because a victim does not want the wrong person to go to prison. If the wrong person is in prison, the real perpetrator is still free. The victim is still vulnerable. The community is still vulnerable. The system failed the victim. The system failed the innocent person. The system failed the family. The system failed the community. And when we blame the victim for that failure, we create another injustice. So when you make mistakes and you keep blaming yourself, you wonder why some of us are acting the way we are acting. But they're part of your community. Now let's talk about the example. Those innocent people spent decades behind them. One man spent 29 years in prison. Imagine that. 29 years. That's enough for you to be a senator. Because even if you were what? 12 years before that, you can be a senator when you're like 35, isn't it? Years, children grew up, parents grow old, life moved forward, and he was still behind bars. Another man spoke about losing trust. He said, the biggest thing I lost was trust. Can you blame them? How can you trust somebody like the system and the family? Yeah, the system will say, well, we didn't do it. Now, the victim itself is the one that created that. No, what has the victim got to? They can only work with what they have. So how do you walk back into a world that continues to pass? How do you rebuild a life after 20 or 10 years have been taken from you? One man spoke about missing his children's lives. A dream of watching them play football, a dream of watching them play basketball. Maybe even thinking of them playing TikTok game. A TikTok. For those moments of doubt, you cannot get them back. And that's the cost of injustice. Because it's so easy to say that every moment we are not present, every moment we're beating ourselves down. That moment is gone. We can't recoup it. So leave all your mistakes, leave all your whatever it is. Give it to God. Move on. That way you don't create havoc for somebody else and for the world. Now let's come back to Jennifer, the one who started this. In helping these people, he did something remarkable. She brought both the victims and the ones who had been exonerated together. Before that, I don't think anyone was doing that, at least the rest of my life in this country. Remember the story how somebody was a KKK met another person, the one they were crucified, and then they became friends. And he was very apologetic because he grew up in the community. He became their abuser. So she brought them together. People who under different circumstances might have seen each other as enemies. And we should not allow politics to go on. Democrats think the enemies of Republicans, Republicans think the enemies of Democrats, and libertarians and independents don't know what they are doing. But when they sat together and listened to one, they began to understand they were both victims. They had both been wounded, they had both been failed, and they were both carrying. Then Jennifer gave them hope, and she asked them to break them. Smash it with a hammer. And that's what Spirit is asking each of us. Break all that thing that is holding you back, that you criticize here. Smash it with a hammer. And you know, to break things is easy. To get rid of things is easy. But people just round up things in their house and dispose it. But to buy it and ask Amazon to deliver it, to create it, that takes longer. Amazon's plan and the door was broken. This is how life can be. All it takes is for one thing to happen. If we're not careful, to keep nursing mistakes and rules. It is easy to break something. It is easy to break trust. Because it does happen on the spiritual path where we just give up. Like, I've prayed so much, I've done this so much, that, well, what has come out of you? That's it. I'm out of you. And like we learn, they might actually be closer. One must tell you, they will be feeling like, but they don't know that they don't know that. I'm not going to go to the area of Yogananda school and do it. It is easy to break trust. It is easy to break a heart. It is easy to say something true. I've always wondered, why do you want to torment somebody else? What do you get out of it? Calling people names, making fun of them. And they can't see the cruelty. It is easy to condemn someone, just like we condemn ourselves. It is easy to destroy, but then comes the hard part, putting the pieces back together. Remember the broken pieces, putting it back. That is what healing is. Healing is the work of putting the pieces back together. Now, I want to talk about what they call kintsugi. It's a Japanese expression. So after they've broken this bowl, Jennifer asked them to paint the broken places with gold. Are like, it's a it is part of the idea is simple and beautiful. The crabs are not something to hide. When we say let go, we're not saying bury, you know. Because if you are burying, that means you're still waiting for somebody else's approval. Breaking the gold and repairing the gold to the part of consuming. The idea is simple and beautiful. The cracks are not something to hide. The broken places are not proof that the object is worthless. So, grew up in the place I grew up in, that place. They don't easily get rid of things the way Americans do. If it's broken well, can we fix it? If it's good, can we fix it? We have little things with us. They're with us. Like they put it out there, what did you say? It's free, right? The broken place is free. That's what we say, it becomes part of our experience. Even the experience of our life shapes us. So let it break you and demolish you, then that's something. I don't think anyone has ever lived the idea 100% without challenges, right? Like I said, and I want all of us to hear this again. You and I are not disposable because we are. We are not worthless because we have been wounded. We are not less valuable because we have scars. We are not our trouble. We are not our worst mistake. We are not the name someone called us. We are not what happened to you. I mean, we all know this, we've heard it. But it's good to have you repeat it. Because you know how we can be so different. But these are things Spirit wants us to hear again. You are still you, and you are still loved by God. Oh my God, you are still loved by God. Next time you are going to say, oh my God, you are still loved by God. I'm still loved by God. But in the process, Jennifer brought. Before the participants could paint their wounds with gold, they had to look at the places that were broken. So in other words, yes, it's okay. See where you make mistakes and all of that. And that is where many of us struggle. Because sometimes the harshest voice in our lives is not the voice of another person. It is the voice inside our own. So Jennifer asked them to write a letter from their critical voice, that voice that tells us all that. The voice that says, you are a failure. You will never change. You don't deserve love. You will always be a prisoner. You are not good enough. You deserve what happened to you. Take that into me. Who will not easily say this to another person? Especially the one who will. Then why are you saying it to yourself? One of the participants wrote words of condemnation of it because of what he was. Another said, you will never know love, you will always be a prisoner. Another way, you don't deserve to be alive. You are a failure. Because it's like, nobody will believe it. I didn't do it. I swear to God, I didn't do it. You know, it's a condemnation. I didn't do it. It's like, yeah. All of you that end up with you always say that you didn't do it. And the ones I can tell you to do it. Another one will, you don't deserve to be alive. Can you imagine saying those things to someone you love? There may be some people do. I will not say that to people I love. Even the ones I don't love, I won't say that to them. Most of all, we never speak that way to those of you have children. Will you say that to your children? Maybe some mothers or fathers do. We never speak that way to our best friend, will you? Somebody calls me as their best friend, they say that to me, that's the end of that relationship. I don't need that. I already have my own documents. I need to be on that. So why do I need to do that? Isn't there a that, what is it? We need you as a friend, because you know, the enemy is something like that. And many of you remember the advice. Yeah. It sounds like you want to know. You never say things like that to people you love. So why do you speak that way? Always remember that. Why? So now the enemy tells them to have another love. This time they have to speak to themselves from a place of heart. They have to speak to themselves as though they were speaking to the person they love most. And the words change. One man wrote, you have a kind. You are love. You are faith in him. Another reminder, you are a great mother, grandmother, wife, brother, sister, and friend. I've seen you stumble, and I've seen you bounce. And another said, it is never too late to follow your dreams. Always let us get that. You should never stop believing in yourself. You didn't deserve to be hurt. I will always be your biggest answer. This was one who was told that, you know. You know how people troll on online? They would say, oh yeah, you deserve to be raped and all of that. How can everyone ever say that? So now we hear the difference, don't we? The critical voice cares and the compassionate voice creates us. Who was imprisoned, the compassionate voice set us free. So which one are you going to make your best friend? So my challenge to each of us this month is start speaking life to yourself. Not arrogant, not denial, but speak that divine truth that you. You are not. Tell yourself, I am worthy, I am loved, I am growing. Because sometimes we think we are stagnant, is it? But no, we are growing. I'm learning, I'm forgiving. I am not my worst mistake. I am not my worst fear. And I've said this before, the Spirit has said it. The world we repeat becomes the environment in which our minds live. We create your own. If we constantly tell ourselves that we are failures, eventually we begin to live like failures. But if we remind ourselves of our worth, we create a foundation for which healing can go. We do not know how we can do it. And we do not pretend to pass. We pray them to go. I like that. I go, even if there's no light, something will be shining, you will see this and shining, and then it will bring it to light. So as we wrap this up, so today I want each of us to think about the broken places in our own life. What are you still carrying? What guilt are you still carrying? What shame? What bitterness? What old accusation? What was someone said about you that you have allowed to become part of your identity? And God will make you their identity. Maybe today is the day before you can let go. Seek yourself. That's why they have tears. But they won't let you carry that captive. They say it's against the law. And they say, even the world, you don't have to carry the world on yourself. Like they say, the one who created the leg, fix it. Let God handle what you cannot control. Let God bring justice where justice is needed. Let God be ready. Let me repeat that. Let God take the weight you were never meant to carry. Think about that. Because if we keep holding the one to carry, then God says, I don't even let us just have the case, then we found that we couldn't carry. Because there was no reason. We have the wisdom to forgive without denying the truth, and we know who to forgive. May we have the strength to remove what we cannot control. And we need them to speak to ourselves. And may we discover that when places we thought we were broken, they become the places where we might shine straight. So the whole expression is, even in our broken places, we are beautiful. We are strong at our broken places, and we are not disposable.